Welcome. Today we'll be discussing hospitality safety and security and handling of emergencies and crisis. Let's talk first to safety and security. It's important to remember accidents just don't happen. They're caused. And you have to keep that in mind. With that in mind, your workplace becomes a very dangerous place, especially in the hospitality industry. Because every task can become a hazard. It's a potential hazard on its own. And you have to take care of common health and safety hazards in your work area. It's very, 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 very important. Various measures have been taken to protect you, your colleagues, your guests or visitors who come to your establishment and who may be affected by any of the work activities. The hotel is a very highly public place because it's a public place. There are a lot of people moving in and around, and because of cleaning and kitchens and a lot of chemical usage in hotels, there are fire hazards in hotels. So all these create an environment where you have to be very, very careful, and you have to use all the measures which are outlined for you to ensure that there are no safety and security issues. Terror is one of the main things where no one has any control over it. You remember the 26/11 attack in Mumbai, where hospitality hotels were widely infected because the Taj and the Oberoi's in Mumbai were targeted. It was a clear attack on the Indian economy. And hotels become soft targets. They become valuable targets also because they become very vulnerable because at the end of the day they not only hold, places like Taj and Oberoi not only hold foreigners who are coming, they hold very important people who visit them, they hold, they sometimes host diplomats. So attacking symbols of hospitality, it creates an atmosphere of terror more than anything else. So all your high profile guests and all of them are vulnerable to such attacks, which create national and international recognition everywhere. So they become soft targets for terror attacks. While hotels become soft targets, hotels have to be very vigilant and security conscious. You're hosting a guest in your hotel. He may come from A country, B country, C country. You are a potential terrorist, terrorist attack destination for terrorists. And you've got to ensure that you remain strong, you remain vigilant, you do take all your protections, all your precautions. You create a visible terror shield so that you are fully up to it at that point of time, and you inspire confidence in all your tourists who come to your establishment. Emergencies and crisis. Crisis, by the dictionary definition, is a turning point or a crucial time. Crisis means potential for injury to you, your guests, to your staff, damage to company assets, by anything. Events unfolding quickly. And for every crisis management has to be in place. What does crisis management include? It includes fast decisions. You have to make decisions on your toe, on your heels, sorry. Complexity of hospitality is because hotels are so complex, crisis can happen anywhere, anytime. Notable world crisis events. MH370 aircraft has gone missing. The Tiananmen Square revolt in China. Human carbide in Bhopal. The gas leak. The nuclear reactor leak in Russia. NASA Challenger explosion. Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska. Obviously, we talked about it. Terror attacks in Mumbai, Taj and Oberoi hotels. 1980 MGM hotel fire, collapse of the Hyatt Skywalk in 1981, McDonald's massacre near the Mexican border in California, E. coli deaths associated with Jack in the Box in Northeast USA and in the Japanese school system, King boycott in Arizona, fatal auto crash resulting in from a collision of float and a spectator at the Chinese New Year parade in Hong Kong. All these interests are catalysts and crisis and catalysts for management action. The biggest crisis the world has seen in the recent years is the COVID-19 crisis. Emerged from a small town, small village in Wuhan, and continued till 2021-22, even has some minimal impact now, but is yet existing. But at that point of time, the whole world was brought to a standstill. It had a massive impact on the hospitality industry. Hotels, I mean, when countries shut down its borders, tourism affected the maximum. Entries were banned. Visas were suspended. Even there were lockdowns everywhere, so hotels were the ones which suffered maximum. The hospitality industry, the tourism industry, was the maximum sufferer during that period of time. And then even once the crisis was lifted a little, travelers avoided travel. Health concern, hygiene concerns, all these aspects changed the way the hospitality industry worked. Crisis situations affect individuals, small, large businesses, cities, states, and countries. And this is what we saw in COVID-19. Everyone was affected. You have to have a plan for everything which may occur. You must be educated in terms of crisis. You must be trained. You must be equipped to deal with new challenges. The broad spectrum of crisis. Organizations can be typically categorized into two groups: crisis prepared and crisis exposed. According to Tiller, only 60% of the 1,000 industrial companies have operational crisis management and planning. Most crises are similar nature, which span across industries also. There are crises which can involve outside agencies in terms of responses. Crisis affects businesses. They have to be prepared for crisis. So there are two types of crisis, which is natural and man-made. Your fires are a natural crisis. Conventional wars are natural crisis. Biological wars, chemical wars, nuclear wars, all kinds of wars are natural crisis. Riots are man-made crisis. Riots are man-made crisis. Bomb blasts, terror attacks, all man-made crisis. And your natural crisis come out from emergencies like earthquakes, floods, cyclones, landslides, tsunamis, famine, drought, volcano eruptions. So a whole host of them. Six phases of any crisis or emergencies. You have pre-crisis phase. You have warning. You have emergency crisis, rehabilitation, recovery, and reconstruction. Systematic crisis management. Before the manager can handle a crisis, he has to instantaneously evaluate the situation. See what is under his control. What are the resources available to him to manage the crisis? You have to look at what level of control is there which you can exercise. What are the resources which you have to manage the crisis? Your staff, your equipments, cash flows, other resources. Basically, evaluation of a crisis to plan is very important, because unless you don't evaluate the crisis instantaneously, it becomes difficult for decision making. Plan is not formulated. And the manager always has to be prepared for the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. and be ready to deal with anything. You should have a crisis management team in place. Executive staff, a spokesperson for the media, a lawyer in case you require any legal assistance, and so your security staff. So all these people have to be involved in your crisis management team, and you have to create a crisis management team. So that during a crisis, the team comes up immediately. What should the crisis management team do? It should evaluate the possibility of any type of crisis, so that both internally, externally, so that the hotel can be prepared. You can have a plan in place. So in case of fire, you have your fire exits. But who are the ones who are going to man those floors? Who are the ones who are going to guide? How are you going to guide? Who do you take out first? All that you have to plan. How do you mobilize the staff and manage the crisis? You have to plan that. Then you have to evaluate the process of what you're going to do. How effective will it be? Then you document all the crisis plans. It's vital. Have everything in writing. Unless you drive in, it's good to talk. You will be there. Unless it's in writing, it's not a sure responsibility. Unless you don't have your SOPs or you don't practice your drills, you're not going to be able to execute the plan during a crisis. Crisis can happen anytime, but you have to be prepared. And to be prepared, you have to have a plan. To have a plan, you have to write it. You have to document it. And you have to keep reassessing. Your action plan has to be need to keep reassessing it. You have to benchmark it. You have to train people. You have to assess the ability of the team members of the crisis management team. People may come and go. So new members have to be trained. They should be capable. That's all forms a part of the plan. So you identify the crisis specifically. You do not mix symptoms with the actual problems and determine the level of control. You select your spokesperson very, very carefully. You establish communication. Communication in any crisis management is very important. One, communication with the external people you need to communicate to, like the media or the police or whatever. And the other is the communication within the crisis management team. Your plan, like I said, it needs to be ready. You have to create mock drills. In a terror situation, how are you going to handle mock drills? Like the one, the terror situation in Taj and Oberoi. Communication was the biggest failure. Communication with the outside world has to happen very swiftly. You have to have a strong in-house system to prevent and deal with the crisis. You have to keep training and motivating your staff. Nobody wants to jump into the fire. If there is a shooting, what are you going to do? If there is a bomb blast, what are you going to do? From where are you going to evacuate? How are you going to evacuate? Who's going to be the nodal officer in charge? Who's going to be the person in charge at that point of time? So in a hotel L scenario, you have to have each shift which will have its crisis management team, nodal officer. Would be responsible for moving quickly. Who would be there to communicate to everybody? This is what has happened here, please. 10 commandments of the crisis management. Strategic management and information system, like I said, how are you going to communicate? Selecting a crisis management team, very, very important. Developing a plan, very, very important. Deciding on the objectives of the crisis management, very, very important. Collecting facts, observations, evidence, documents, taking input from experts, external or internal, from peers, from employees, very important aspects. Deciding course of action, analyzing alternative results, collecting new facts, taking a decision, evaluating the evidence, asking the right question, decide what criteria needs to be weighed, what evidence, before reaching a conclusion, monitoring the results and the judgment and the actual outcome, and reviewing the procedure and action taken to adjust the crisis plan. Crisis checklist. Crisis has many aspects, many angles. The word crisis can be used as to illustrate key factors for dealing with crisis generation. One is your cash flow and communication, financial management, adequate resources may save your business. How quick is it? Number two is responsiveness. How quick is you there to respond to stakeholders in various situations? Involvement. How involved are you as a manager to manage the cash crisis? The speed at which you react and act and make decisions. And do you have the necessary insurance? Because at the end of the day, a crisis can make can shut down the business, and the world is going to sue. So, crisis management action must address many issues. But it has to be people oriented. First priority is people, victims of a crisis, your guests, business, your clients, your partners, your employees, your primary consideration. In case of fire, these are people are the ones you save first. In case of terror attack, people are the ones which you move to safety first. No matter whose fault is it, no matter what, whoever faces the crisis, I mean, whoever is the one injured in the crisis or is directly really shocked by the crisis, then it has to be an emphasis on empathy and sympathy. People are the most important in any crisis management plan. Interest groups. Yeah, so there's always a bias when it comes to managers in any world. Bias by a number of stakeholder interest groups. Depending on the level and nature of crisis, interest groups may mean media, insurance agents, lawyers, public agency inspectors, as well as employees and guests. So, what is your interest group? All require attention and demand answers. Nobody does not want attention. A manager needs to know his or her responsibility towards each of these interest groups. Manager is answerable to everybody, including his employees. Employees are the ones who get affected the most. They're often faced with shock, sadness. They often have questions, how did this happen? They're often concerned that, okay, this happened. Is my job going to be left? How is it going to affect me, my family members? The manager's duty is very important there. Has to meet with the staff, has to meet with with everyone who faces it. Has to explain all the consequences of the crisis, post the crisis naturally. And has to be honest and true with them. Employees are a major group which always during a crisis suffer. So crisis management includes communication strategy, emergency management, issues management during the event. Now, to the business community also, to the disaster community also, then you have to do a disaster recovery and then you move to business as usual. But to get back from crisis to business as usual, you have to handle the crisis first. Long-term planning. Crisis must consider day-to-day operations of any business. And you plan long-term. You keep monitoring and updating your crisis plan. If your business has to survive a crisis, you need to constantly review your crisis management plan. You need to constantly look at how day-to-day activities are affecting your plans. How change in work environment is going to affect your plans. You have to constantly be in touch with government officials to know, if there is going to be, is there a warning towards such crisis? So you have to be very good to the government. You may not like the government, but you have to be good to them. You have to have material access control. So after the terror attacks, what happened in India, at least in India? The baggage scanners anyway. So a guest would check in, his baggage, his luggage would be scanned, he would be frisked before they moved into the hotel. So baggage should be scanned. All supplies of the hotels need to be scanned. And some may be randomly tested. So you need to have well-trained security personnel at supplies side and at the guest side. And no one is bringing a gun into your hotel. You have to check that. And if they're bringing it, are they police personnel? Do they have a license? You need to all check all that. People should not be walking into your hotel with a machine gun in their bag. And then once they check into a room, do anything they want to. Same thing goes with your supplies. Your supplies, your supplier may be reliable because you bought it from an approved and established vendor. But you need to constantly check it. Somebody can put something in. Random checking is very important. Physical checking is very important. And you have to be wary about walk-in guests. You should check them properly. You have to be vigilant about suspicious guests, suspicious movements. You have to have the watch list with you. You have to be aware of people who are in the watch list. When you're checking in a guest also, you have to take all the details from the guest. Nationality, birth, date of birth, sex, passport number, issuing country of passport, country of residence, visa number, date and place of it. In India, we call it a C form that has to be submitted to the police. You need to ensure your employees are verified. The verification is and the background checks are very important. And your temporary staff, which you take, the casual laborers which you have working, they should come from contractors who follow procedures, who maintain up-to-date data, who verify their staff. Anyone going into the back areas who is not an employee of the hotel should be properly identified. Must have a visitor's pass. Should just not be walking around and roaming around. Should be accompanied at all points of time. Then you need to have internal access control. Like certain areas like the boiler room, like your server room, the mail room, the computer room, switchboard room, or your control room, they have to be thoroughly manned properly. You have to have limited access to them, only to certain authorized employees. Magnetic interlocking system could be done. So there are established procedures for it. There has to be established procedures for the keys. Then lifts. I walked into a hotel as a restaurant guest, but I'm using the lift and going to any floor I want to guest room floors. That should not happen. I should not be able to access the lift when I'm not required to use the lift. So there has to be electronic cards. Lift will only open on the floor or you have a room in, and on the floors which are accessible to all. So lift will not run without the electronic cards. That's a very important aspect. Then you have to limit external access controls. You have to limit access points. There are multiple entries, guest entries at the front. Then there's an entry for the staff at the back. Then there's supplier entry. Then there's car park entry. There's restaurants may have its own entry. Shops, access is also there. Larger hotels have high traffic. So number of access points needs to be reduced. You have to have CCTV cameras everywhere. You have to have somebody monitoring the CCTV cameras 24/7. So that needs to be taken care of. Then providing guest protection and loss prevention is essential for any lodging establishment, regardless of its size. Big or small, you have to provide protection. Then crime is a growing problem. Crime will never stop. Protection can also never stop. So you have to protect not only from bodily harm, but from robbery and everything else also. There is reasonable expectations from hotels to provide safety and security. So all hotels are responsible for maintaining security alarm systems and implementing procedures aimed at protecting the personal property of guests and employees. And the hotel itself, naturally. You should have the comprehensive security plan, which has security officers who make regular rounds of the hotel, including guest room, corridors, public areas, private function rooms, walking areas, everything. It also includes back of the house areas, observing suspicious behavior and taking appropriate action, investigating incidents. Incidents occur every day. And wherever required, cooperating with the local law enforcement agencies.